At Honda, we've been engineering cars for over 75 years, actually. We know that excellence takes time. So you can rely on the Honda engineering in the all-new e:NY1. With a range of up to 250 miles on a single charge and up to 5 years warranty, servicing and roadside assistance. Our first electric SUV, the e:NY1. Oh, a hole-in-one.
Yes!
Honda, the power of dreams. Range based on test conditions and may vary.
This is a Global Player original podcast.
Johnny Vaughan's 4 till 7 Thang.
Welcome to the 4 till 7 Thang podcast. First podcast of 2024. Well, first proper podcast of 2024. Last week's being a special edition, celebrating 400 podcasts. It was an heroic special. I got Dr. Templeton. She's dropped by for this bit. Hi, Doctor.
Oh, hi.
Thanks for dropping by. Looks like Gavin the Woodman Woods is here. You're right, Gav?
Hi.
Hi, Gav. Little Si, He's stuck his head round the door. You right there, little Si?
Hi.
And why is that big Si over there in the corner? It blooming well is. So the whole 4 till 7 Thang gang have shown up for the first podcast of 2024 intro. And that shows how dedicated we are, how much we love podcasts, and how podcasts are still central to everything we do.
Sure.
On this week's Big Si, he's left.
I know. He's sick of it.
I can't believe that.
Look at that. He's heard this too many times.
I know. Guy who never says anything leaves room. It's quite a visual, or you need audio for a bit, yeah. but he has.
Yep. Mm,
you can there feel it. If you listen hard enough, you could feel him leave.
You'll hear the...
Yeah. That little retraction.
You'll hear the airtight door as he leaves the Faraday cage we live in. Anyway, on this week's podcast, Dubai... No, I don't. Abu Dhabi do... we discuss the velvet economy, and the woodman has a milkman from Epsom becoming quite the backdoor man as he shakes and delivers a whole lot of love in his heroic little slot. Enjoy.
Radio X.
Hey, Gav.
Yes?
I've been to Abu Dhabi.
I know you have. How was it? You haven't told me anything.
I tell you, like, do you buy? No, I don't.
Right.
I don't buy.
You lease with an option to buy.
No, do you buy? Forget it. Abu Dhabi.
Is that the place?
Okay. If I was working for the tourist board of Abu Dhabi, as the long-standing joke, what's the difference between Dubai and Abu Dhabi?
Yeah.
In Dubai, they don't like the Flintstones, but the Abu Dhabi do.
Yeah.
Why not actually cash in on that?
Yeah, right.
And actually have as their phrase, Abu Dhabi do.
Yeah, it's positive.
Right.
That's what brands always look for.
Yeah, I know. You're sort of thinking, so this is a tap-in.
Of course it is.
Because it's genius.
It is.
It's like Dubai was 25 years ago.
Is it?
Yeah, in that you're not quite in the shadow of just buildings. It's not like like a beach that they've sort of just rolled up at the Spaghetti Junction. It's great. You can see an horizon and stuff.
Right.
And there's really nice sand and lovely staff and nice people.
Like early Vegas before the high-rises.
And it's not a total rip-off.
Yeah.
And there's not lots of shops.
They're not quite there yet.
There are a few shops. And actually, I went to Warner World. I sent you some photographs.
Yeah, it looks great.
Gotham. It's an inn. It's the world... Of course, it's got to be the biggest, isn't it? It's the world's biggest indoor...
What?
Theme park.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Right.
Christ, in the summer, I don't know what it costs to keep it cool. But there was moments in there when Vanessa decided to go into the soft play dome with Milton.
Mm-hmm.
And I literally can't because I was too tall.
Right.
It's really weird to have an upper height restriction.
Right. Yeah,
So instead I had to go and sit down by the fried chicken concession and watch them.
Sure.
I was just in this place.
And your thighs were too big to get through.
Yeah, right.
I was just too big.
I was too bulky.
Yeah, yeah.
And suddenly I'm sitting there just waiting for my fried chicken to arrive.
Yeah.
And the place was, there was a sort of out of tune, you know, like Bugs Bunny piano thing.
Yeah.
In the background. And it was this sort of red light everywhere, and there was children running round, and parents looking sick, and a big pram park,
and it became menacing.
No, but I was just thinking, this could be hell. Maybe we didn't make it in the flight. For a while it was red, but this sort of
if you were there forever, I'm telling you, that's a good shout.
This out of tune piano just kept this thing. I saw these kids going up in this sort of rise and just being dropped and just screaming right in front of me. Just up and then
And then screaming
but,
kids.
No, but if they were being dunked into a pit of fire.
Right, right. It wouldn't sound much different.
Which I was imagining.
Sure.
No, it wasn't at all. But, and then suddenly I've heard overhead screams in Warner World. Mm. I've heard screams overhead and I've looked in this tiny passage, like a tunnel made of rope.
Uh-huh. Right.
You know, like rope.
Yeah.
You know, like a scrambling net.
Yeah.
You know, like the scrambling nets he had in the war game.
Yes.
Absolutely. Basic training.
And I've just heard, Dad! I've looked up and I suddenly thought, that is Milton and Vanessa right above me.
And they're really high up there.
I thought, there's no way, Vanessa. It's really high up, thinking, there's no way that can be.
She's gone all the way up there.
Yeah, she's wedged in there.
Oh, no. Did you have to send help up there?
No, there's someone who's quite a larger child was in front of them. They're just stuck in this tunnel.
Oh, I see, yeah, yeah.
About 100 feet above the earth.
Wow.
And Milton's crying, and they're in there.
The child was acting as the wedge.
No, but as I carried on eating my fried chicken, it's hard to eat fried chicken and just do the out of my hands gesture.
Yeah, what can I do?
To someone 100 feet above. But, yeah. hell. Anyway, Abu Dhabi, do it. It's fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. Apart from maybe don't go to Warner World. Got that 200 quid as well.
What?
Oh, it's a rip-off.
Johnny Vaughan. Radio X.
Right. Little Si, you had to return something over Christmas.
Yeah, I had a bit of a shocker, actually.
What happened?
What was it?
Well, with presents and that.
Oh, yeah.
And that.
Sorry.
When did you become this sort of humble serf that had to return presents in that?
Like as not.
But you know what happens to scum like us, John, and that? Yeah, when you're like nothing in that, like scum and all. Yeah.
Go on.
And that.
What did you have to return?
And that.
Emily said to me before Christmas, she just wants some nice
That's the lady of the house.
Suede boots.
You bought footwear.
Oh.
You ordered footwear across the internet.
Hang on. Did she tell you which boots?
No, you
picked them.
I had to pick them.
And you didn't know? Did you know?
Crazy.
For example, did you know her Braddock sizing?
No.
For a start,
no, I didn't.
Did you try them on?
No, his feet are too sharp. Do you remember?
Yeah.
He's got. Mind you, he has got ladies' feet. That's right. Out. Yeah.
That was the joke.
Of course. Keep up, John.
Come on, keep up, bullet. But you're right, it was a long...
It was a while ago.
What was wrong with the boots? Research. Well, I did loads of research on the heel height.
Okay, you overthought
it. And, like, the zip.
Can I just say
to
you something?
Footwear.
Okay. Vaughan Theory. This is Vaughan Cloth Theory 127, Never, ever, just buy... If you're going to buy footwear, don't.
Yeah, just don't.
Don't. I tell you what the problem is with buying one item of footwear for your partner, And this is a problem with a lot of things that if you haven't got into it. Mm. Firstly, a pair of shoes. When you're just buying things at random, and this is again a problem with sometimes hangover purchases or just buying things that you just like. You just sort of think, hey, yeah, no, I've always wanted a shirt like that. Yeah, I've always wanted a jacket like that.
Yeah.
Is by sometimes just buying something random. This is palings theory. Mm. Now, if you look at a fence, the more palings in the fence, the more gaps there are. Sometimes when you buy something random for a wardrobe, you're actually creating more gaps within a wardrobe.
You have nothing to wear it with.
Right. What you've done is you haven't bought an item of clothing.
Yeah.
You have now bought some gaps.
You've created
in a wardrobe. You've now actually bought it so that to go with that, there's got to be a belt. There's got to be a handbag.
Yeah.
Now, actually thinking about it, she hasn't even got a coat to go with that.
Right.
You've actually created three more problems for yourself.
God.
When you're shopping, you either buy the complete story or get something that fits in with something she's already got.
Yeah.
What you never do is just buy a pair of shoes.
So what did she say was wrong with the boots?
Don't see them as shoes. They're gaps.
Wow. Mm. Mm. I got the wrong size to start with.
So that was
this is the danger.
We don't need to hear anymore. You literally failed at the first.
But shoes and things. That's why jewelry is such a good thing. You can't. Yeah. There's not so many levels to fail on.
Yeah. Mm.
They either like it or they don't.
That's
you can with rings, I suppose, on size and things. But. You know, you fail on size, then you can fail on colour, you
heel
can fail
height,
on style. There are so many variables.
Crazy.
Where'd you go?
Everything was wrong.
Unless you're buying a repeat trainer.
Yeah.
That you know fits with the sizing.
Where'd you go? Fantasy shoes of Soho. Were they a bit tight round the thigh?
Yeah. How high were the boots? Were they thigh-high boots?
Did they come up to the arms?
With a 5-inch stiletto heel? Because that's not going to go down well.
It's really up the stakes. Because her birthday's in a couple of weeks.
So you're going to have to fix this.
Really well.
Like I say to you, though, if you are doing stuff like that, Don't. Just don't. Don't ever get involved with the shoe game. Shoe game is something you both go off and do together. You go and pick your own shoes and you live that hell.
The good news is the other present I bought did go down very well.
What was that?
A pair of socks.
Wow.
You are.
Wow.
King kidding me.
Was it a 3-pack from JD Sports?
No. No, it's a very nice pair of socks.
Was it?
Cashmere.
Oh, okay.
Okay, again. Word to the wise, always never buy people cashmere socks.
Why?
Because they're such a pain to wash.
They really are.
They get dirt. Because unlike all other cashmere items, most cashmere items, you know how to wash them. Mm. Yeah. You wear them so rarely because you're so frightened.
Yeah. I know. Keep them in a glass case.
Okay, no, and then even when they're off your, now you've got to worry about the moths.
Yeah, the moths will get them,
literally,
yeah.
All you've got there, as soon as you bought cashmere, you've just got something there's just a fear of depreciation and or damage.
Yeah.
You know?
So what you've done, you've put socks on your wife's feet then no boots to put them on top of.
But also, but Gav, you got a wash cashmere, it shrinks so badly.
Yeah, it does.
Not cashmere. It's just very expensive felt.
Yeah. It's just like, yes, it goes to felt.
It's sort of like underlay.
Like turn into finger bobs.
Yeah, they do. They just go so thick. Yeah. And suddenly it just looks like, from what was like a nice, you know, I got a size 12 feet.
Sure.
So it looks like a nice, and suddenly it just looks like you got like a size 5 felt toddler's shoe. And you're thinking, that was a sock.
Or it waits 4 months to go to the dry cleaners. Yes. You get to wear them twice a year.
Yeah, right. You're exactly right. Yeah. So that's that one done.
Yeah.
Anyway, more little size presents.
Johnny Vaughan's 4-7 thing. Radio X.
So I was watching TV this morning. While I'm still trying to just, you know, make sure Milton's got his football gear because he's going off training today.
Uh-huh. Sure. Is he getting scouted, is he?
No, he's there. You'd be surprised at his level.
How old is he now?
About how many of the dads talk about how they've heard there's some scouts coming?
Oh, really? Yeah. What, for 4-year-olds?
Yeah, the worst thing is you look at these dads, you think, oh, this really is the last roll of the dice.
You've not done him any genetic favours, have you?
Yeah, you really haven't. Because I could have been pro, of course. Yeah. You know,
it was my knee, wasn't it?
A long criminal record.
Yeah.
if I, sadly... Anyway, the point is, so while I was feeding him, then trying to just, you know, dressing your kids to go do anything on time, it's like juggling eel.
Yeah.
And so, but while I'm in this process, in the background is having gone through This Morning, which is on in the background, which...
The TV show
The TV
morning.
Show, yeah, rather than the actual, you know, time of day.
Mm.
Yeah.
Is, they're very, let's separate the two.
Yeah.
Because the TV show lasts longer.
Yes, it does. It's today.
It's less entertaining.
Yeah, it's less entertaining than just looking out the window. Yeah. But no, what is good, though, is people fake it. There's nothing nice, especially if you've been in television and done sort of bits and bobs over the years and work with an amazing amount of people, most of whom, actually, in my female career presenters, I've got on very well with.
You
know, but it's really great to see other people don't seem to have that.
Ah.
And watching them fake it.
No chemistry.
Oh, it's so good watching people faking chemistry. I'm not going to mention names, but Lisa particularly. Right. But just seeing people just faking chemistry on screen.
Yeah.
You know, just because they think they're going to get the gig.
Mm.
Yeah, that was really, we had one really good day.
Yeah.
Let's do it again. Yeah. fake chemistry. But anyway, after that comes Loose Women, which is still obviously an insult to every woman on this earth, but on the show, Nolan.
Yeah,
has empty nest syndrome.
Oh, has she?
I mean, it's hard to think of an empty Nolan nest.
Mm.
Right.
I mean, a mum must have felt it whenever they were on Top of the Pops. You know, it must have been quite, well, that was 5 gone. I don't know how many was in the clan, you know, but...
yeah, I wonder how many
probably,
Nolans there were.
If there's 5 girls, probably a couple of boys there.
Yeah, at least, yeah. I would imagine.
But anyway, I don't know how many kids Colleen's got. Let's say the last 5 have gone now.
Right, okay.
Sure.
The youngest 5 have now left.
Assume there's a decent squad.
Yes.
Sure.
Yeah.
You know, anyway, she was talking about her empty nest syndrome. Everyone was talking about it. And it was the usual, what's the word for it? Light-hearted, dreary discussion.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It was
just sort of
comforting her, but just another sort of cliche conversation that people relate to that. But a lot of our, I mean, I think a lot of their viewers probably a bit old for.
That's why I was thinking that when.
Anyway. But I suddenly thought, actually, at the moment, and this is something they won't be talking about. I've got I got empty fridge syndrome.
What?
Why?
Why
empty?
What do you
mean you've got empty
because
fridge?
My fridge is broken at the end.
Oh yeah.
It's
the fridge at the end.
It's an
it's not broken
it's
at the end.
No, it's a wine cooler. It came obviously with the house.
Sure.
You can't. Siemens don't make that one anymore.
Don't they?
I'm trying to find a new one.
Oh,
has it got
man.
To fit in a specific spot? You can't.
A certain width.
Can't be bigger or smaller.
Height.
You could easily work at Rice Lip Supplies.
We don't have that size.
No, they do. Stuff. No, actually, they do.
They do.
But the point is, I've really. It's awful. I open it and
it looks terrible.
I go
it?
In there just by habit. You know, like when you move a bin, it takes you ages to recalibrate.
Right.
Same with your beer fridge. You sort of go in there and think, oh, God.
Oh, God, it's just a cupboard.
Of course, they've gone.
Yeah, that's over now.
No, it is. And you sit there and you look at it for a while. You remember the great memories.
Yeah.
And you see, like, you remember that beer that was there that time when it was hiding behind a...
And it was there and it was cold.
Yeah, right.
Just when you needed it to be cold.
It was hiding behind a jar of mayonnaise that was too big for the other fridge.
Right.
And then suddenly you thought, no, there's a can behind
those
there.
Big mayo jars are like rugby balls,
aren't
they?
You remember all the ones of
the
left
overspill
home,
fridge is always full of good stuff.
Yeah, it is, yes. The overspill is always
stuff.
Always the good
Harry,
stuff.
That's something we've learned.
Yeah.
And certainly, you know, you do not give up on condiments until you've certainly looked round the back of a few bottles in there.
Yeah.
But so I've got that.
Mm.
I've got empty fridge syndrome, and I really miss it. It's been agony over Christmas. I've also got empty landing.
What, your stairs?
Yeah, syndrome.
Really?
Because at the top of the landing, that's where my football was, but it's had to go now to make room for, like, kids' stuff and things, but it was on the little landing there. I used to go up there for a little game. But occasionally I still walk past, and do you know what? I can still see those indentations in the carpet. Where it used to be.
Wow.
Anyway, I don't know, but... Let's not limit this empty syndrome. Just
it could be
just
anything. Yeah, yeah.
A lot of parents, when they've gone, it's like, oh God, at last, the little leeches. Sorry. Radio X. Gavin.
Sure.
Can we have a hero, please?
Sure.
I'd appreciate that.
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, every single day of the week, the Woodman furnishes the hero. Today is utterly no exception. Gavin, today you have. James Page.
That's right. Because he turns 80 today, we're doing Jimmy Page. He was born today in 1944. It's not his real name. He was born Roger Treadwell. No,
which
I'm joking.
More...
I made okay, that up. Okay. I made that up. No, he is James Patrick Page. I'd love it if his real name was Roger Treadwell.
It's much
Treadwell.
More metal.
It really is.
It's more Deep Purple.
As you described him,
isn't it,
the
Gav?
Guitar... It is, yeah. They had a Roger Glover, I think.
They did have a Roger Glover. Yeah, they did, yeah.
He's been described by Rolling Stone as the pontiff of power riffs. Anyway,
did he visit the Pope of Power?
Yeah. The family moved to Felton when he was a baby, then Epsom, where Jimmy grew up and went to school. He took up guitar at 12 years old because there was one left in the house they moved into. It was just hanging around.
Yeah, no, I saw the documentary.
He practiced a lot, 6 hours a day. His two guitar heroes were James Burton and Scotty Moore, who both played for...
Elvis Presley.
Yes.
Gav, can I just say something?
Yes.
Because this is what you forget until you've... I know Jimmy Page a bit. Cause we
I know.
We both go to the same restaurant quite regularly.
Sure.
And he could have kept it open as well, which I slightly blame him for.
Yeah, yeah.
But here's the thing, Gav. This is what people forget.
What?
Is to be that good, you've got to play a lot of guitar.
A lot.
It's how people don't realise. It's like a serious concert pianist doesn't stop playing the piano, or a violinist.
That's right.
No different with guitar, great guitarist.
Anything that where you repeat things,
yes.
10,000 hours. That's the accepted thing. To become good at, really good at something, 10,000 hours.
10,000 hours. Yeah. Well, everyone forgets that about guitarists. They see, because they're rock and roll,
sure.
They don't see under there.
No, I know.
Is someone who is virtuoso.
Exactly. Yeah. So he did a milk round while he was a teenage boy to save up for his first Hofner acoustic in the late 50s. By 13 years old, he was on TV playing skiffle. Some early bands of his, Malcolm Austin and the Whirlwinds.
Brilliant.
The Paramounts, the Crusaders, the Red Caps.
The Crusaders?
Yeah, but not the soul band. Yeah,
yeah. It's a bit weird. Jazz funk, Gaff.
And he was touring before he was even sort of 17, 18. He was touring and making money.
First touring band.
But he kept, I can't remember who was, was one of those.
Okay.
But he got glandular fever. So do you know where he went?
Where?
Art school.
Nice, nice.
They all go to art school.
Yeah.
In the 60s, sessions all over the place, sometimes 3 a day, 6 days a week. He played with everyone. He played on records by the Kinks, The Who, Marianne Faithfull.
The Who?
The Stones, Van Morrison. He played Baby Please Don't Go by Van Morrison. Shirley Bassey's Gold.
Slow down, Woodman. Slow down, Gal. Are you saying Woodman?
Yes.
That's Jimmy Page.
I think so, because there might be more than one guitar player on that record, but he did play on Baby Please Don't Go by Van Morrison.
But if he's going to do anything on that record, it would be...
It must be that. He played on Goldfinger by Shirley Bassey.
No!
He played on Donovan Records, Engelbert Humperdinck, Joe Cocker, and loads more. Later in the 60s, it was all the Yardbirds. And then after that, a new band called The New Yardbirds at first, until they changed the name to Led Zeppelin, which originally...
Hey, wait a second, were Led Zeppelin the new logo?
Yeah, for a little while. That name, Led Zeppelin, came from Keith Moon, who said it as a joke. And as you keep talking about, Johnny, their first album, Led Zepp, song one, side one... This is the first thing anyone ever heard. And this is Jimmy as a riffer.
Okay. Oh, man. God.
The cowbell. And then the snare fill. So that's a good...
Phil is the best fill in rock.
The second song is the other half of Led Zeppelin. The second song on that album...
Babe, I'm going to leave you.
...is one of the... Yes, it's one of the soft ones. This is him on an acoustic. And those are the two sides of Led Zepp. The quiet one.
But I think... I think this is different to anything else, because here we get the first really... hammered home, repeated riff that comes from this.
That's right, yeah. Amazing. So 8 studio albums, 4 live albums, 300 million worldwide sales, 111 million just in America. Happy birthday, Jimmy Page.
They're so exciting, aren't they?
They really are.
I get so excited.
I know.
I've actually seen them.
I know. X.
Remember 2014? We like to think it was a simpler time, pre-COVID, pre-Brexit, pre-air fryers, but there were still difficult issues to get our heads around.
Don't be mean, she's just got married.
Well, I will not be calling her Cheryl Fernandez-Vassini. I can't be dealing with that.
Friendship in all its glory. Big Boys on Channel 4. New series starts Sunday at 10.
Radio. X. Johnny Vaughan's 4 till 7 thing.
So the Pope has urged... He's been urged to drop the priest's celibacy rule.
Oh, really? Yes, of course, yes.
I'm not so sure about that.
Why? How do you
see
it?
Because priests are going into places, they're on their own, you know, you got to administer last rites. The last thing you need is some guy sort of going, hi. Because they deliver last rites, they do things that don't occur in other churches. You have to have the last rites to prepare for the, you know, when you're very ill, it's one of the 7 sacraments. You never know when you're going to have to do those things in action.
What are you saying they're going to show up in like...
A guy showing up in shorts.
Or like white jeans and sexy silky shirts and stuff.
Yeah, right. Going, hi there.
Right.
Hi there, heard someone needed a bit of sacramental stuff.
What sort of medallion on the chest and everything? Yeah,
right. So people feel like this is a guy who's, you know, you need to feel.
So you think sexy priests are too much of a distraction?
No, but do you know what the truth is, Gav?
What?
About why there's the celibacy rule. And it's nothing to do
with... Yeah, because other Christian orders, they allow marriage. This is completely different.
Do you know why?
Why? Go on.
Money.
Why?
Because, Gav, and it's purely economic.
Go on.
Because you've got 1.4 billion Catholics on earth. Yeah?
Yes.
It's a lot of priests, a lot of admin.
It's a lot of priests.
Well, how many priests can you get in a presbytery? Millions. You get loads. I know it sounds like how many priests can you get in a presbytery? Two in the back, two in the front, one in the...
But you bring priests and their wives and families.
Right, now you've got a problem. Whole house.
Kids
need rooms.
Yeah, yeah. It's like an army
barracks.
Right.
You've got a load of priests here. They cook for each other. They look after you. You've always got a few on duty.
Yeah.
In the Church of England, you got like one vicar these days for like 4 parishes.
Mm. Yeah.
And they got a supply of hair. They got hair.
They've got
the opposite problem.
It's an issue for sure.
You go in there, they're literally... You go into a presbytery, it's like a barracks. Loads of them there. Literally, is one of the sleeping on the... It's like Father Ted.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's really why. So you're not supplying...
Right.
And also there's less upheaval. You can then send them around the world.
Sure.
Remember, they're Jesus soldiers.
Oh, they get posted around like spies.
Yeah, exactly.
They're all over the place.
Well, you turn around and say to a priest and his family, right, you're all off to Botswana.
Yeah, yeah. Or an island off South America somewhere.
I'm afraid you've got the Patagonia gig. Take the family.
After Croydon.
Right. but he's very happy. He's schooling Croydon. No, you're going.
But we love the A23.
But it's perfect for A23 and access to Dorking. Well, you're going.
It's over.
But
your Dorking days are over.
But he's just got into Manchester Grammar. Right. It's simply that.
You're right, it's logistics. Yeah, it's pure logistics.
It was never one of the sort of moral things or the ethical things or the things that are perfect and you mustn't mess with them because the divine never changes. It's nothing to do with that at all.
Sure.
Purely a money thing.
Mm.
And so you want to send them around the world and they've got no say, no family, no. They can't say, I'll have to ask my wife, Monseigneur.
Yeah, they've taken that out of the equation completely.
Yes,
gone. Wow.
There you go. So, this is Say My Name. It's the Lathams. It's nice when you can clear up mysteries.
Fascinating.
The former bishop of Southwark told me that.
Oh, yeah?
No.
Oh.
So I'd suddenly give it a bit of... Wait.
Johnny Vaughan. Radio X.
Keep it locked on Radio X. You turn on the radio. Oh, you turn on a friend.
What?
Nice.
Not turn on a friend.
Get angry with a friend?
No, turn on, man.
Oh, I see. Like, tune in, turn on, that kind of thing.
Turn on the radio, on a friend.
Right, right.
Okay, couple of things for you. First up, even youngsters got involved as thousands of pumpkins were stacked by hand in a store in Kenya in Turkey.
Uh-huh.
Sorry, Konya in Turkey.
Yeah.
They're grown on a 128-acre farm. And it's going to be quite a sweet shot of, like, two kids, only eight, walking along with pumpkins. Yeah, that's child labour.
Yeah, it is child labour,
We could do this all day. You know?
And they're not unionised, those children.
Yeah, right.
They're not
unionised. Shots of how sweet it is that... But there was so many shoes to make in this Chinese factory, why even the kids got involved on the sewing machines.
Yeah, that's
Where do you want to go with it?
Yeah, right.
You know, the two poor kids weighed down by two enormous pumpkins are photographed. Yeah, here,
you're
guys.
Right. They're actually charm washing a pretty serious story really there. Yeah, yeah.
I like that charm washing.
Yeah.
Great news for vegans.
Oh, yes. What? I've been waiting for this.
South Korea's taken dog off the menu.
Great news.
That's great news for dogs.
South Korean and vegans, because it's a triumph for your mob.
And vegan dogs.
Well, I think most people are anti eating dogs.
Don't presume.
Sorry.
The South Korean parliament has passed a law stopping restaurants from serving dog meat and banning the breeding, butchering, distribution and sale of dogs for consumption.
Cool.
Wow.
Isn't that nice of them?
That's beautiful. Good. It's a lovely story.
So if you want a snack on that, you probably have to go to the north, I would think, now.
Yeah, to get some dog, It's going to be different.
For a bit of crispy paw.
That's not an easy trek.
Although Vegan Dogs is a great band name.
The Vegan Dogs.
Oh, oh man. What an image.
If you wanted an aromatic, crispy... Yeah.
Chihuahua.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pyongyang dog. Have you got any Pyongyang paw?
Oh.
Aromatic Pyongyang paw, please. Ooh, yum. Dad, is there any more of the tail? Is there any more meat on the tail?
Stop.
Is there any more meat? Oh. Well, no, we've got a big feast, so we're going to get a great big St. Bernard.
Mm.
Lots of fatty muscle on it.
Sure, sure.
Actually, shall I tell you what my really good news for vegans was?
Go on.
Because it wasn't that. That was just me being gratuitous.
And
it was
awful. You being awful.
It was me, but it was I was being, Gav,
what?
Monster.
Monstrous.
You were,
at least you don't have to do a show every day with a monster.
She said.
Yeah. No, I'm not. As you go, I'm not all right, Liam.
It'd be really hard to do a show with, like, Godzilla, wouldn't it?
Yes.
It'd be really difficult to contain that situation.
No. Sons will go home and Liam will be like, "Are you right, son?" They'll go, "You're right, son." And she'll go, "No, I'm not." "Why, what's the matter?" And she'll go, "You don't have to do a show with a monster." Anyway, do you know what? I've got some good news for you.
Yep.
Vegetarians and vegans could be less likely to suffer from COVID, a study might suggest.
Ooh.
Seems quite
nice. That seems something to cling on to, doesn't it?
Yeah.
3 years after the horse has bolted.
It's still not worth it.
Why is that then?
Research from the University of São Paulo.
São Paulo.
Yeah, in Brazil.
Brazil.
Yeah, nice. Professor, looks like his name's João.
Johnny Vaughan. Radio X.
I went to Amsterdam for New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
After my little trip to Abu Dhabi.
Yeah.
Which actually sounds like a metaphor.
It's not.
I went for the old little dash to Abu Dhabi.
Yeah.
Actually, it sounds like you've eaten something bad.
It does, yeah.
Anyway, So I went to Amsterdam for New Year's Eve. Absolutely fantastic, yeah?
Mm. Yeah.
Straight at Soho House there. It's great, yeah?
Second year you've done that, isn't it?
Yeah, second time I've done it. Because it's like being the guest of, like, the richest person you know.
It's unbelievable.
And you've got your room downstairs, and they just have a huge party upstairs. But they ruined it. Because they were playing some really good old-time tunes. They played a bit of Sylvester, You Make Me Feel.
Yeah.
And then there was a big house tune after that. I can't remember what it was, but it's a house tune, I don't mind. And then suddenly, after midnight, they stuck some half-assed rapper on.
What, he was just
MC. Oh, he was just rubbish. Then you saw everything just cleared. There was not a young crowd up there.
No, not really.
Anyway, they're not the thing you heard.
Yeah.
It was a bit like introducing guitars into church to get the young in, you know? Maybe if you had some guitars and we wore scarves.
And that's just silly because they had the dance floor full.
He had them locked down.
Yeah.
Locked down.
So just keep it going.
Suddenly this guy's like, wind me, buddy.
Yeah.
In fact, it wasn't even that good.
Right.
Anyway. But for what was really funny, what made me laugh is I went for a dinner in the lovely restaurant that Ciccone's. It was delicious. It had like a set menu.
Yeah.
Way too much food.
Right.
I was just looking around thinking, are there people who are actually going to finish this? Mm. This is crazy. We've got another course. Because after that ragu.
Okay. Right.
Which was a sort of big oxtail ragu.
But don't they give you like one spoon of it when it's
No, they didn't because they said we had lots of no-shows. So the portions have doubled up. I hate leaving. I much prefer a little portion.
Yes.
Anyway, what was really funny, they had velvet banquettes to sit on.
Yeah.
But Vanessa was wearing like a velvet, you know, disco onesie thing.
Right.
A pantsuit.
Yeah, pantsuit thing.
A jumpsuit. Flared,
pantsuit. Sorry, that's such a funny term.
A jumpsuit, yeah. But it was really flared and just, you know, it was there for the funky vibe of the thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, but she said it was just horrible sitting on velvet with velvet.
She's kind of stuck.
Velvet on velvet.
It's like velvet on velvet crime. Goes unreported.
I can imagine she would have got.
Yes,
quite,
no, like, it was. It was like.
Friction.
It was
very
horrible.
Was there any static issues? You don't get that with velvet. Was there?
No, because I've.
Crackling.
Some kind of issue. No, she's just sort of getting stuck to it. It's like a Velcro effect. No, but things like that can ruin the night.
Yes.
They can, these little details.
I can see throughout dinner, she's like rocking around. Saying, yeah, no,
she
it's
can't
horrible.
Get comfy.
It's a nightmare. But it's a sort of thing.
I'd have sat on the napkin.
Yeah.
Yes.
Or just move to a restaurant with a leather banquette.
Oh, that would be great.
Yeah, should have been leather, right.
Yeah.
You never think, you never know what's going to come along and slightly ruin your night.
Yeah, because you could never predict for that.
Yes.
You can't legislate for velvet.
In this case, velvet on velvet violence.
Yeah, right.
And like a second-rate DJ.
Amazing. And double portions, which made you really full.
Yeah. Who would have thought? New Zealand would be blighted by... The portions were too big. There was
velvet everywhere.
Anyway, I started having a laughing fit, yeah?
Yeah.
Because I was talking about velvet on velvet violence with her. And then I suddenly thought... I looked around, there's a lot of velvet in there.
Mm.
Yeah.
And there's guys wearing, a lot of people wearing velvet jackets, like Little Si did for Christmas.
Yes.
Right, yeah.
He wore a velvet jacket, didn't you, Little Si?
Yeah, it went down very well.
You lie, he got trumped by his brother-in-law, who, get this, wore a monocle.
That's so funny.
Now, what I like
That's
about it is
so
his
funny.
Little, his Little Si feels he was one-upped by that.
Yeah,
that's
right.
The kind of crowd he was with.
I know.
Well, Little Si's going to go with the top hat
next
time.
Yeah, should have worn that fez. Anyway, they're very much a fez crowd. Fez and cigars, which I quite like. Anyway, the point about it is I looked around, there was a lot of velvet there.
Yeah.
And I suddenly thought, wow, it's very rare you hear about the velvet economy.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean?
Velvet's very big this year.
Yes, yeah.
He's big into
pound.
Velvet.
Yes.
Yeah.
But, I mean, if you go into certain parts of town, you can definitely see the leather pound at
definitely.
Work.
Yes.
The leather pound.
Absolutely.
But this guy made his money
You can see the nylon pound
You can see the nylon
pound.
You definitely can see the nylon pound.
Yeah, yeah.
The nylon economy. Anyway, I don't know, 83936, if you've got any thoughts on the... just different fabrics, different economy.
Sure.
Different fabrics, different economy that we might perhaps enjoy looking through.
X.
Do you belong here? Sitting next to me in the back of a Bell 212 helicopter, about to give your team the go on a jungle training exercise. What's your gut saying? Not for you? Turn the volume down. Or stay here and see how far you could go with leadership training unlike anywhere else. Go, go, go! Still listening? You belong here. Army, recruiting now. Search Army officer.
Radio X. Johnny Vaughan.
Sorry, I don't mean to come back and snurtle on the mic. It's just I've just suddenly started reading your...
There's so many texts came in.
The corduroy economy. That's on universities.
The lycra economy. The corduroy,
yeah, it's the corduroy pound, isn't it? You can have lots of fun with it, Gavin.
You really could.
It's the corduroy pound. Yeah, right. Anyway, I was really laughing during New Year's Eve, much to Vanessa's disappointment. I don't know why. I was in quite a giggly mood.
Yeah.
And I was giggling at anything.
Amsterdam does make you giggly, doesn't it?
I was a bit giggly. Sure. And I started just giggling about the velvet economy. Sure. First, I was giggling about her discomfort being felt, and I was talking about the thought of velvet on velvet crime.
Sure.
Two men in velvet have been attacked. A man in velvet has attacked another man in velvet. From the look of the elders of Tea Wells, the fleece economy is on the up.
Yes, yeah, the polar, big economy, the fleece economy.
The polar techonomy,
Definitely. Yeah, it's definitely. A camping shop economy, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like the Velcro pound.
Sure.
That's just tightwad.
Sure.
Tightwad Australians.
Absolutely
you
right.
Just open their, used to open their wallets and peel out an old tenner that was all flattened, like it'd been ironed.
Yes.
Just pull out.
The Velcro economy.
The Velcro economy, yeah. The leather economy we've had, I like that. Mm. What have you seen there, Gav? That you
Dan in Crewe says, if you take a walk down Crewe High Street, you will discover the 100% polyester economy.
Yeah.
Working in tandem with the vape economy.
The vape economy, the definitely there is that, yeah.
Economy, yeah.
Also, the Draylon economy. Radio X. Guys, I've got some great news. I wasn't going to do financial news now.
Right.
But when you occasionally get something as eye-catching as the item that has caught my eye in today's business section of the Daily Telegraph, not a paper I normally go into.
Sure.
Okay. But time's not good today for anything. It's just been hacked to pieces by the news department.
Right.
Just to say, I use papers because they've already basically been to a lawyer. There's nothing worse than if I go and try and sort of put a bit of spin on an item and I find out later, no, that's a comedian. That whole thing's funny. I go, oh, right.
Yeah, yeah.
No, that was a joke. That was fake news.
None of that was real.
Yeah, at least this has been faked by professionals.
Sure, exactly.
Anyway, I've seen something that, well, it made me giddy, Gav. It made
really?
Me giddy.
What, financial and, news that made
yes,
you giddy?
Yes, yes, yes. Because... all too often in this country, we just roll over too early and admit defeat with things. Yeah, we give up.
Yeah.
Sure. Especially with homegrown stuff. Look at our car industry.
Yeah,
Everyone else can make a car here, apart from we can't.
It's crazy. Yeah. We were literally...
Yeah.
We started that game.
Right. The it's answer mad. Is for British cars, typically we should make them in France. Because then people stop caring about workers.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. That's the answer,
that's
isn't
the
it?
Answer.
Or we start making Triumphs in Japan.
Oh,
we tried that.
Yeah.
Anyway, guys.
Go on.
Britain... is far from, get this, quote, peak Greggs.
You are kidding.
The bakery chain boss has said it plans to roll out dozens and dozens of new stores.
Wow.
That's what I like. A bit of ambition. Yeah.
Yes, especially real shops in real high streets. Yes.
This guy is running Greggs. She's like the Stalin of bakers.
Right, right. Yeah, yeah.
No, just in terms of vision.
Can you picture a high street where it's just Greggs?
Oh, my goodness.
No, don't.
Like every shop on the street, both sides.
Greggton.
Greggton.
Greggton
North.
Yeah, Greggton. Lower Greggton. Upper Greggton.
There could be a kids show. Yes. There could be all kinds.
Nether Greggton. Anyway, Greggs, well, Greggchester. Greggs will open. Guess how many new shops it's going to open in 2024?
Three.
Sunter?
10.
Gav?
13.
Sunter?
20.
Greg.
Graham? 27.
No. Sunter?
30.
No. Greg?
41.
Greg?
higher?
Yes.
Oh my goodness. 55.
Greg?
59.
Little Greg, what do you think?
63.
No. Lady Greg.
77.
Mr. Greg.
81.
Little Greg.
Oh, 91.
160 new shops.
160?
Wait, 160?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Well, that's really rare. I'll give you a stat where you actually explain what the number is.
Oops, I thought you said, might have said 116.
No, oh, right, yeah. So 160. No, no. 60, yeah. Well, wow. 160. That's what I said.
Wow.
I know, amazing. Yeah. Yeah.
Where is that?
In
where,
1 year.
I'm sorry, there can't be 160 high streets that don't already have a Greggs.
We're having trouble finding pet towns.
Yeah, right.
We should be talking to Greggs. Anyway, Greggs is going to open 160 new shops across Britain in 2024. An expansion that it will see it target areas. And that's what I like. Baker's targeting.
Targeting place. Zones.
No, it's a
yeah.
fight back.
It is. It's a war.
Bakery.
Yeah. Yeah. The pastry wars.
Yeah, they're not rolling over to McDonald's, Burger King, KFC.
No, they're doing their bakery thing.
Taking it to them. I won't be happy until I see a Greggs literally where there was a Starbucks. Then I'll know we're winning.
That's progress. Yeah. Yeah. You'll, for me, you'll see that.
For
yeah.
me, that's like, you know, reversing Dunkirk and going
it
back
really
in there.
It really is.
Yeah, back in there. Suddenly Vichy has fallen.
Great you know? British high school.
Yes, Starbucks couldn't
we're
keep
winning
up
it,
with
but they
Greggs.
Couldn't keep it up. What do you literally, Costa Coffee crumbling.
Mm. Yeah, wow.
Costa Coffee is closed. Greggs to open here. Yeah. They've got, well, do you know what? They will have, guess how many sites? Guess how many Greggs there will be by the end of next year?
When they've opened this 160.
Mrs. Greg, what do you think?
500.
Mr. Greg.
It's 702.
Little Greg.
2,000 or something.
2,500. Sites.
God.
Wow.
My God.
Sites.
A lot of sausage rolls.
How long till we see the first Greggs superstore?
It's Britain's...
Like one of those massive outlets.
Shut up, Gav.
Size of a B&Q.
Mega Greggs. Meg Greggs. So many of you, we didn't ask for this, but just that little, sometimes you just, you know when you're renting a car and you're abroad and you're overseas and you just give it a touch on the accelerator, you think, oh God, there's no power there at all. But yeah. Sometimes you do it, sorry, you think, Christ. I've rented the...
Oh, it's like a 6-litre
V12.
This is
like the 2.5.
Yeah.
Well, the latter is the case with this Greggs Towns.
Oh, yeah.
Someone said Greggs should be in every school. Absolutely right, they should.
Sure.
But loads of you just naming Greggs Towns. We've had Greg Wold on the Stour.
Yeah.
Greater Gregchester. Which is nice. What have you seen there since?
Gregton by the Sea.
That Gregton, sounds lovely, doesn't
Gregton
it?
Gregton by the Sea.
Lovely for a weekend trip.
Yeah. I would think Gregnoregis would be nice. There's a shop in Newcastle that does sell Greggs Benedict, a pasty with an egg on top.
An egg on.
I
God,
love
that's
that.
Lovely.
Greglodon is nice. What are you seeing there, Gavin?
This is my favourite, Greggles Barriston.
Oh!
Greggles, yes. It's pronounced girlish.
That's right, yeah.
We've got Greg Ness.
Hello, Chris Moyles here. I'm so sorry to interrupt your podcast enjoyment. I'm with my friend Dominic Byrne.
Hello there, I'm sorry.
You may remember us, we used to be on the radio back in the day. Well, we still are.
Still doing it.
Anyway, we do a podcast.
Mm-hmm.
It's called The Chris Moyles Show on Radio X Podcast, and it's all the best bits of our radio show from the week, with all those pesky songs and things taken out.
That's it.
And some hilarious things in there.
I'm just really laughing is. Thinking yeah. about it.
Download it right now from Global Player.
Johnny Vaughan's 4 till 7 thing.
Radio X.
Gav.
Yes.
So, it's something that fascinates me here, right?
Mm.
Is it? I'm not sure where we're getting our energy from. It's like, for a while, for instance, they were saying that now 35% of English power or our power in Britain comes from wind turbines.
Yes.
You're thinking that's crap.
Right.
I don't believe that.
Why, you think it's too much?
No,
or too
I just
little?
Don't believe that 35% of our power comes from wind power.
It seems it like too much. They can't have got that far yet.
And
no.
also, what does happen when we just generate all our power and don't have to nothing? We have to import anything. Nothing at all.
Well, that's what I want to know, because we are an island
right.
surrounded by gigantic tidal and wind energy.
Right, right.
And yet...
An island made of coal
yeah.
in a tidal sea of oil.
With wind energy. Everywhere
yeah, and yet,
tidal
and I can't clear my energy debt.
It's mad, isn't it?
It's mad. I don't know what they're working it out with. I just can't get rid of this glut. Anyway, get rid of this guy. Get your head around this.
Yeah.
Right? So I'm just it's not a particularly cheery place. But
yeah, go on.
I'm going to dare them here. I
go
want
on.
You to join as a group.
Sure.
I'd like you all to join in on this dare.
Go on.
Right. New nuclear power station will power 6 million homes.
Right.
Why not go for the lot? Or make it 10 times bigger? I dare you. That was your Aminga.
Yeah.
Why stop there?
Yeah, right.
We'll still have to...
That's 6 million.
We'll just rely on the Russians a little bit for gas and the Americans and...
That's right, yes.
And other people. Why?
I know, it's
Wouldn't
weird.
It be great? We just had... Literally, our government had this energy thing and they had this enormous nuclear power station. One of them, just in one place, like on some island, cynically.
Isle of Man? Let's turn the Isle of Man into a power station.
No, one of those, like Isle of Wight, Gav.
Okay.
Isle of Wight, because it's...
Isle of Wight.
Isle of Wight.
Yeah.
And or Lundy.
And also, if we did it on the Isle of Wight, it'd be like telling that French nuclear energy company just to get lost.
Yeah, right. You just have a huge... Yeah. Anyway.
Go on.
I was just thinking for a while when we wanted to replace turbines with giant waving cats.
What, like entire restaurants?
Chinese restaurants. Waving out to sea. You see millions, like huge wind
columns of them.
Cats waving. Anyway, which sons are like. You like us,
yeah.
And would be very lucky.
Mm. Yeah, yes, and plus we'd be really lucky. Yeah.
All the luck. Oh my God!
Yeah, of course, we don't think about that, do we?
Yeah, exactly. We could have our own luck supplies.
We're in Britain, gambling away.
We wouldn't have to import luck anymore.
Yes, yeah. Anyway, yeah, but yeah, just go the whole hog.
Yeah, just get it done.
Sorry, since I was just saying, there's a nuclear power station, this new super one, it's going to power 6 million homes.
Yes.
I go, why not go the whole hog and just, you know, make it three times that big? It's about what? How many homes are in Britain? About 30 million.
It can't be more than that.
Must be about that.
Let's have a look.
And I'm always amazed by things like, how many cars are there in Britain? He says, it's about 10 million. You're thinking, it can't be. Everyone's got a car.
Yeah, right.
Some people have got two. Some people have got three.
Yeah.
Anyway, 6 million. So how many homes are there in Britain, Gav? Go on.
26.4 million dwellings.
Right. Okay.
Dwellings.
Okay. Yeah. So you've only
That's just in England and Wales.
You've only got to make it four times bigger.
Yeah, four of them, yeah.
Four of those, we're done.
Yeah.
And then if the government owns it, we get no more fuel bills at all.
They'll find a way to send us a bill.
No, but why?
Yeah,
why
I know.
Just eliminate that as a bill from everyday life?
Yeah, yeah.
Gun picks up tab. In return, we can all spend the money elsewhere. No one can start messing around with bills and stuff like that. Everyone's just got power. It's known thing that in Britain, they've just got free electricity. It's done.
We don't have to fight any energy wars in the future.
Yeah,
we don't have to do any of that rubbish.
Just build an extension on the thing.
Exactly.
That's it.
Defo.
That's it. Done.
Why not?
Imagine that.
I know. Beautiful.
That's what they should be looking at. Mm. As long as obviously taking water back off the water company. So it's a known thing. In Britain, you know, in Britain, they don't pay for energy or water. No one does. No, because they've got, because it never stops raining there. And they've got water.
Yeah, yeah, it's just fine.
And they've stopped emptying poo into it.
It's absolutely fine. Yeah, they've got rid of them.
The whole thing. So that's not. So they've got lots of money available to kick into the economy.
That's right.
To spend at pubs and clubs.
Yeah, cafe bars.
Cafe bars.
Johnny Vaughan.
Radio X.
I got a bit glued in this morning on TV when I was meant to be off doing stuff.
Yeah.
Just watching like someone fix a chair on telly.
Yeah.
I was thinking, this is just stuff that people just used to do.
For a job,
like,
yeah.
You wouldn't have just wandered into someone's, like a carpenter's sort of...
For a TV repair place.
Come in there. Do you mind if I just watch you mend a chair?
Yeah.
I didn't want to do it. It's a bit weird.
Yeah.
Who'd have thought? Cut two.
I know, 20 years, 30 years later.
8 million pensioners going, have you seen the way he's applied the lacquer? That's a type of resin, that is, that comes from a fungal mite that digs into the wood and produces that, the French lacquer.
Wow,
back then it was just
something.
A jar on someone's shed.
You're right.
You know?
Yeah, yeah.
And everyone's like, look, he's actually fixed. No, it's because we can't get our heads round. We've gone so far into the Greek model.
Mm. It's easy to buy new. easy to buy brand new for the fridge.
Yeah.
But we don't, you know, they just chuck things out in Greece. You can see it.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, look at their temples.
Yes.
Look at the state of those. No one bothered patching them up, did they?
That's true, yeah, yeah.
It's easy to build a new temple. Then let these two...
Yeah.
That's why everything's in such shoddy condition. Same in Italy. They don't fix anything.
It's all water parks now.
They don't fix anything. They just say, build a new church. Don't have the old temple anymore. What about the big statue we used to have? Britain, we'd rebuild it. Not there. It wasn't this good. It probably wasn't that good.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I went to another station, and sure enough, there's like more people fixing stuff.
Right.
And I'm thinking, you know, how far is it? Are we going to get a new show, which is laptop repair?
Oh, man, that would be boring.
So we just take out the battery, and we'll send off for eBay, and there we are putting a new battery in. And that should work.
I'm sorry, but that is a TV show that's coming, isn't it? It's coming.
It's already on YouTube.
Well, yeah, you know, I went down Ice Smash, that place that mends your phone when you're...
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And you find they've all learnt on YouTube. That's what that's their training, yeah, YouTube. Yeah. They get a few bits and bobs. But the guy was doing it, and I found myself doing that thing where he looked at me and went... Yeah, he was fixing it. He was just dropping the fragile, you know, the glass bit in, and you don't want to. He doesn't want to get any stuff on it.
On the edge,
and he was going like that. And I was holding, I was looking at it, because it was my phone. I was sort of looking over his shoulder going... He goes, honestly, mate, do you mind? I can't do it. I said, sorry, I was just getting so tense. But I suddenly thought, this is like the sort of the live show, isn't it?
Yeah, right.
You know, when you're watching
the theatre version.
When you're watching Repair Shop, that's like Match of the Day. Soon, we'll be watching it live.
It's edited highlights.
Yeah, you'll be going in there. You'll be going to a big exhibition centre watching someone today, ladies and gentlemen. But first of all, he mends tallies.
Yes.
Would you please welcome? Today we're going to be putting a new screen on an old old Ferguson TX.
And perhaps a new power supply. Stay tuned.
If it doesn't work. Yeah. Anyway, so I was going for that. And then I noticed there's a new thing. Just these sort of old school shows like that. So it's Repair Shop, because we just think it's a miracle that anyone
knows how to do this stuff anymore.
Anything.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. Wow, his feet. He hasn't just thrown it out. No, he just throw that out.
No, he's still got it. It works again.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, yeah.
I was looking at this show, The Great Pottery Throwdown or something. They just do pottery.
Right. Yeah.
They just do pottery.
Isn't it like the Bake Off, but for pots?
Right.
It is, yeah.
But I was thinking, how far are we going to take this great British thing?
Right.
And once we're starting to do this pensioner TV thing.
Like
the sort of the great British bathroom tile-up.
Ooh, I'd watch that.
But that's what I mean.
That sounds
great. You know
what's
going next? The Great British Fry-Up. Where Shane has suggested a great show. Mm. Just to... on the line of the Bake Off, The Great British Q.
Nice.
Yeah, what a show that would be.
What, hosted by Holly and...
No, they wouldn't, Gav, because they wouldn't be in it, would they? Think about it, Gav.
That's
think
true,
about
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
Think about it, Gav. Gav, stupid. 83936, get on it.
X. This is Sarah's last game before she does her self-assessment. Like her last game and the last game before that, classic. Come on, Sarah. The deadline is 31st of January. Less distraction, more action.
Don't be like Sarah. Visit gov.uk/self-assessment today. Payment support may be available.
Radio X. Johnny Vaughan's 4 till 7 thing.
The Great British Roll-Up.
Oh, so man.
That's really good.
Nice.
That's just great,
so
isn't
old
it?
School.
How are you getting on there? Well, I'm just trying to just get even distribution of the backy.
Yeah.
They could
do like a wind event where you've got to make one in the wind.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
And some okay. weird
turn the fans on.
Yeah, yeah,
turn
yeah.
The fan
that's
on.
Right, yeah.
Well, what I've gone for is a 12 skin. It's a 12 squint skin T-bone. It's a T-shaped smoke.
Great.
Smoke. And... well, good luck with that. Let's go and see what Miles is doing over here. What are you doing? Just doing a large cone. And, okay, we go. Great British Mean... Actually, do you know something?
Mm.
Years ago, I did a music show, the one that Oasis first appeared on, a Blur, a Pulp.
Yeah, yeah.
A show called Naked City. And we had a joint rolling competition on it.
Yeah.
Really?
And we had Fish from Marillion.
Yeah.
Versus... Tony Banks MP, who wanted to legalise it, he's now... And there's one other rock star who was on the show that day. I wonder who it was.
Wow.
And weirdly, Tony Banks won with a Cavalier 15-skin cone.
You are kidding.
No, I'm not.
And he did it in short order as well.
Enormous. No, he took ages over it. But it was this... Anyway, Great British Menial Job Off. Contestants see how long they can last in various settings. Factories, production lines, supermarkets...
Yeah, I like that.
Petrol stations, cleaning job. The aim is to outlast European workers' endless work ethics and do at least an hour's work before claiming you need a tea break or to go off sick. All satire like you want it. James in Shropshire's coming with a beaut.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
I'm taking this.
Mm.
And then I shall hand it over to you.
Mm.
The Great British Meal Deal.
What there's a show in that. There is a show in that.
So what are you going to go for, Jim? I went for sausage roll and the Heinz soup. salt and vinegar crisps and a can of Fanta lemon.
Cavalier choice.
That's a nice, yeah. That's a nice meal deal.
Off beast. Yeah.
And that's what I'm going to try and put together. Okay. What are you putting together?
Let's have a look at the options.
Let's have a look at what you're going to... Jan, what are you going to go for? I went for mushroom soup.
Yeah.
tuna with sweet corn and mayonnaise sandwich.
Yeah.
That's nice. Very nice combo. Mm. Then I went with cheese and onion crisps.
Right.
And a donut.
Oh.
A nice meal deal. I think strong. A little bit. It's a strong meal deal. Hey, do you know something?
There's a show in it.
It's a show. That's a show. No doubt about it.
Yeah.
What are you seeing there? Dr. S.
How about Jamie Knoxford says, how about the great British paint off when you can literally watch paint dry?
I love it.
Perfect.
It's absolutely perfect.
Beautiful.
But honestly, they'd watch it.
Yeah, because you want to know how they get the corners really tight. Yeah, you want to make sure there's no overspill for your different
And also, as long as you've got a special a camera that can show you the dryness of the paint as well. Let's go to dry cam. So you can literally watch paint dry.
Yeah, yeah.
Look, it's changing. Look in the corner. Can you see it? Can you see how that's drying a bit? Because it's obviously getting a draft from somewhere.
Plus, there'll be a fashion element in terms of what overalls they're wearing.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Oh, yeah, definitely.
Man.
And look, there'll be some wacky sort of, you know, sort of vintage dresser in there. Mm. Gav, what are you seeing?
The Great British Bunk Off just rolls off the tongue. Contestants compete to see who can get off work earliest using tools such as child's dentist appointment, opticians, pretend migraines. That's from Stephen Canuck. Yeah. That's a beauty.
Nice. And you've got to find out what they're really off to do as well.
Yes.
You've got to have a card there.
Is it a drink?
Genuinely, they're just bored.
Yeah.
They want to go home, finish a box set, or they just had a big night, they're hungover.
Yeah.
But then what they're using is their excuse.
Right.
Do you know what I'm talking about excuses? I, you've got to watch it because you always think of karma. For some reason, I get that thing like, wouldn't it be awful if that did happen?
Oh, I see. You
so I never
use
migraine. I'm a migraine sufferer, but I wouldn't even joke about migraines. You know? Mm. The Great British Lawn Cut. I can see the Great
That's
British.
That's a huge program.
The mow off. Mow off. Definitely,
time.
You can see that.
Big time.
The Great British Dishwasher Load.
Yeah.
Ellie, that's great. The Great British Moan. Paul from Leeds is coming with a beauty. Sunts. Go on, you can do that one, Sunts.
Paul says, the Puncture Repair Show.
That's I can see that.
And there are so many options there.
Yeah, that's fantastic, isn't it? It's just fantastic. Let's see where she's bubbling.
Yep.
Get the chalk on there.
Yeah.
Bit of sandpaper.
Yeah, absolutely. You can see here with those little...
Will that plaster fit it?
Shed-based, fixing something.
Oh.
Radio X.
Let's have a hero. Every day of the week, the Woodman furnished with a hero. Today, well, he has got the most famous organ in jazz history, certainly.
Probably easily.
Certainly music history.
And in rock history, and reggae rock, history.
You name
all
it.
Of it, yeah. So the hero
He's
today,
got the most famous organ in history in his right little slot.
That's right. So the hero today, Johnny, is a man called Lawrence Hammond.
His name was Hammond.
I don't know. I didn't know anything about Lawrence Hammond.
No,
I didn't know there was a Lawrence Hammond. But anyway, he lived from 1895 to 1973. He was an engineer and a mechanical engineer and inventor. He was born today in Evanston, Illinois. His dad died when he was two, and his mum, who was an artist, moved to France with him and then later Germany. And Lawrence spent 11 years in Europe.
Lorenz.
Returning to Illinois fluent in English, French and German in 1909.
Right.
Having already designed his first invention, which was an automatic transmission for a car. At the age of 14. They did send it to Renault, but it wasn't taken up at the time. This was really early in the car business.
Hey, wait a second.
It's amazing.
He's 14, he's designing that.
Unbelievable. Yeah, he had 91 patents in his lifetime.
Gav, here's my question to you.
Go on.
When are you, as a parent, when are you proud, when are you worried?
Right.
You know what I mean? When your kid's 14,
exactly.
He's designed all day, he's something, hello.
What's this going to turn out?
Oh, Christ.
Then he studied mechanical engineering at Cornell University, graduating with honours in 1916.
Great school.
After which he served in France during World War I with the US Army 16th Regiment Engineers, which makes sense. After the war, he moved to Detroit to work for an engine building company. And while there, he invented a clock movement, which he then set up with six guys. And then it turned into a huge factory, and the Hammond Clock Company made him a fortune.
Wow.
During his life...
Oh, looks like we've made another fortune, dear.
During his life, he had 91 patents, but the one he's known for, obviously, is the... Well, specifically the Hammond B3. That model of organ is on literally every record that's got an organ on it. In 1933, he bought a used piano. He tore everything out of it, except for the keys, and he developed the tone wheel system that generates the sound. He started...
Is that the Leslie, you mean?
No, the Leslie is the speaker. The speaker actually spins in a circle to give you that vibrato effect.
Yeah, there's a big plate in front of it. Yeah, yeah.
It's what I call the roadie's nightmare. These organs are so heavy.
Well, my dad
and
had
the Leslie speaker and everything. Anyway, quick few clips. This is Jimmy. This is what was happening in the 60s.
Is this Jimmy Smith?
This is Jimmy Smith. Yeah.
You just have to say Jimmy Smith.
I went and saw him in the 90s, and that's where I got the only autograph I've ever asked for. Was Robert Plant was in the audience.
Robert Plant.
At the Forum.
Can I just say to you, if you're ever stuck for stuff to play around your house, just to...
Oh, Jimmy just to, Smith.
When you want to take a break from Radio X, anything of Jimmy Smith, anything.
You can't go wrong.
And it creates the funniest atmosphere. I always use it when tidying up after a big night.
It's absolutely
brilliant.
And I'm just
playing, and I just find suddenly...
I know, it just gets you going.
It doesn't, you just start drinking again.
Then obviously you've got this one.
Booker T and the MGs.
Booker T and the MGs. You've also got this one. This is Bob Dylan. How does it
feel? Oh, man, it's such a
It's so iconic.
That's with a Leslie on it, isn't it?
Yeah, when you can hear it wobbling, that's the Leslie physically spinning in a circle. There's also this one, which we all know from the much later on.
Is that a Leslie?
That's a Hammond organ, of course it is.
Because you'd have thought that people start using sort of modern keyboards that can have a Hammond effect, effectively a Hammond button. But
exactly. It's not the same. It's not the same because as they warm up like a valve amp, they start sounding slightly different and they sound better at the end of the gig.
Don't start in on the power of valves because it's something that's happening in my house at the moment.
I know.
It's exciting.
Well, we'll salute him, but we'll go out on another superstar of the Hammond organ.
Go on.
Klaus Wunderlich.
Don't run.
Strangers in the Night.
My dad used to listen to this. Awful. Does he use a Hammond?
This is a Hammond. This is from his album Hammond Pops.
Just to say, this is what my dad used to listen to in the car when we went on holiday when him and my mum were together.
Oh, no.
And if they had a row, he'd put on Klaus Wunderlich. He'd sit there in silence while this was playing.
Let's salute the reinventor, Lawrence Hammond.
Lawrence Hammond, Johnny Bourne, 4 till 7, thanks. And do you know what my dad used to say to my mum if they'd had an argument, which was their default? Yeah. I've never seen them actually converse.
Right.
There you go. Listen to that Leslie Faye. Super. Radio X. That was our podcast. Don't forget to hit the subscribe button. Now you get the 4 till 7 thing downloaded straight to your device every single Friday. If you want to get in touch, you can. You just email johnny@radiox.co.uk.
Radio X. The plant near the reception desk at Axel's Autocare is loving life. That's because Barclaycard covers 50% of Axel's card reader rental fees for the whole year. So he can give 100% to other parts of his business, starting with a proper watering can. What's good for small business is good for everyone. Barclaycard payments.
50% of card reader rental fees until 31st of December 2024 in select products. Apply by 30th of April. Application approval depends on financial circumstances and borrowing history. T's and C's apply.